Okay, RK 101. Sankirtan, the big drum. Okay, we spoke about Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, some months ago here, me and Dr. Nidhi Prabhuji. And we also mentioned then the big mridanga, the big drum, how Lord Chaitanya in West Bengal 500 years ago or so went out on the streets with his friends and just sang the names of God. Saying this is the Dharma, the spiritual way for this age. And then Srila Prabhupada coming here and, well, doing the same. And of course, many people wonder what is this Hare Krishna movement, going out in the street, singing and dancing, dressed strangely? Well, just, I would say the essence of Bhakti Yoga, one of the essences, but of course that's also there in the descriptions of Bhakti Yoga, devotee Vaishnava should be, and is actually. And that's compassionate and wise and wanting to help others to be happy. And that's really the mood when Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada came here to the West. He saw how messed up the modern world then was. And now more than ever, I think that is quite clear and visible to many of us. So what he really brought here to the West was knowledge. I mean, we spoke the other day about Asia, China, and India, and their similarities and differences. And I mean, China, they're getting things together. It's pretty clean and neat and orderly, the whole thing over there, their society. which is more than you can say about the Indian society. But the Indians, they have their philosophy. I would say that's their unique treasure in the world, gift to the world, actually, because it's knowledge. And knowledge should be given out freely. Now, China also has nice philosophy. And they have their Dharma and their Tao, or the way, similar and universal knowledge, how to get a society to work, to get our lives here on earth happy, protected, peaceful, sharing, and so on. But the Indian philosophy is, and I mean, I hope you can see that a bit when you, if you follow this series here. And I will continue just trying to show this, because all the pieces of the puzzle fall into place, I would say. So, when Prabhupada came over here, he went out, sat there in the park, and chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Nam, Sankirtan. But then he told his disciples, this was late 60s, mid-late 60s, that there's also the big drum, the big mridanga, this drum that you beat on when you go out there. Sing the glories of God, chanting the name of God, loud and clear for everyone to hear. At the Big Mridanga is a printing press. In other words, the mass media, the way that you can make these, this knowledge, this sound vibration of the holy name and of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita heard all over the world. Not just in a village or in a street. So he was beating on that big mridanga, starting the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And, ooh, how many books were printed and sold by his disciples and grand disciples and grand disciples, and it's going on still today. Now, myself and some others, we have been talking about for some years now, Sankirtan 2.0. We'll get to that. And it's interesting because Srila Prabhupada, he wrote, I just saw that, I think a letter or something to a disciple, that this knowledge should be spread, this Sankirtan should go on. And there may be temples and ashrams and farms and all kinds of projects like that. But I said these temples and ashrams, they draw neophytes. And I wonder what he meant, but I guess he meant typical religious people who go to church and do their ceremony, and that's it. And Papa wrote that this can be, or maybe not, I mean, but the spreading of this knowledge has to continue. Therefore, he said the BBT, his book publishing trust, has to go on, even if the whole ISKCON falls. So in other words, it was not about the organization that here I'm going to build a church or something like that, a religious organization that people should join and work for. Which, well, when you do, has its sides. Because sometimes you don't know who you're working for. The mission that the founder established, or for the leaders of that religious group, institution. So, yeah, of course, Prabhupada set up ISKCON and all of those projects. So neither he nor I, of course, speak against them. But I understand it that he... Yes. Emphasize the knowledge and how that knowledge, and yet of course a culture built upon that knowledge, lifestyle, worldview, how that world shown through the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and many other ancient traditional, whatever you say, scriptures of wisdom, they are all bringing the pieces to this puzzle of life and are able to. Help us see the actual picture of that puzzle, cosmic puzzle. So that's what we find all the way through his I would say, daily activities since he came here to the West and then until he left this world. All those books that he wrote. The lectures he gave. And so on. And the letters with instructions. And yes, of course, he also encouraged and, I mean, demanded, it seemed, his disciples to follow the leadership of the temples, you know, the organization that he had created. There need to be some order. And yes, got it working pretty well, even with these wild kids of the 60s and 70s dropout generation. But Sankirtan, well, to some it is going out on the street, banging as loud as you can on that drum and singing loudly and clearly for everyone to hear the holy name of the Lord. Well, now, many have realized that it should be chanted sweetly and nicely too, and look nice also. But then where is the big mridanga? All the books being sold by the millions and millions, which we did back then. I remember hearing a leader, well, the top leader of the whole movement, well, one of them at least, telling us somewhere in mid-80s or early 90s that we had sold like 70 million books or something all over the world. Of Prabhupada's books. But of course, the way the disciples sold the books were often not on the merits of the books themselves, but just, you know, give a little donation, I'll give you this thing because we are helping young people who have problems, which we did. So it was not a lie, at least the way Wiz said it. But then the book was just some strange object that they got by the way, and many they just threw it in the some waste paper basket somewhere. But then we started, well, the ones who started it, I would say the heroes of Sankirtan here in Europe, I think in the world probably, the book distributors, Hari Namananda, Prabhu and Navina Nirada Prabhu, and here we had our Pramarnava Prabhu in Sweden, who could go out on the street, walking around on the parking lot, and sell up to 1,000 books a day. One person. Well, he had an assistant to carry books for him back and forth. And I still don't know today how that was possible. And there was no cheating involved. They just started, and they taught me, and it worked for me too. To just be straight and say, you know, this is Bhagavad Gita, old book of wisdom from India. Look, it's written in Sanskrit. It's about meditation and what yoga really is. And have you heard about reincarnation, where it comes from here, you know, karma and all of that Indian philosophy? Well, maybe shorter than that, but we have our own book trust to make these books, and here we can sell them. Basically at the production cost or something like that. So just give what you can. Take a book. And when you did it like that, you always met a few nice people every day who were actually interested in these kind of things. And some of those, they took 10, 15 books, which you were bringing with you there, different books. Whole library. So yeah, I was so happy and grateful to see that going on and to learn that art from those Prabhujis. And to also be able to experience that kind of sankirtan, the big drum. And actually feeling you're out there, you're selling these very valuable, important and very good books. Very cheap, actually. To the people out here, we call it a yagya. It was a big work. I mean, it was tough. But it was very, very rewarding. So now today, some are still doing it that way. Paper books on the street that will probably never disappear. But there are other ways too. And as it seems now, if I'm allowed to just look at it from my point of view, or whatever it's worth, the paper books on the street sale distribution is not what it used to be, not here at least. Well, that's just a fact. But I think that form of media, I mean, it's obvious, we can just look around. That form of media is becoming a bit more exclusive. And it's more expensive, more difficult to handle and to distribute. So it has been, you could say, outcompeted to a large extent by media on the internet. But as is often the case with us humans, we are beings of habit. And when you learn something, it was drilled into your mind when you were in your 20s. That tends to stay there when you're in your 70s. But this was all included in the teachings that Srila Prabhupada gave us, that time and circumstances and yukta varagya and I would say understanding the essence, the purpose behind it. It's not to sell paper books, it's to give a knowledge to people, fallen souls out there. One way or other. So, well, and then I've been talking about the rest many times already.